Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mackie, and I will be reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on October the 26th, 2021. Carver Center scores high marks. U.S. News and World Report ranks Midland School among state's elite. This is by Stuart Doreen. Carver Center in Midland is the 8th-ranked elementary school in the entire state of Texas, according to U.S. News and World Report. U.S. News on its website showed earlier this month that the gifted and talented school of Midland ISD was the top-ranked elementary school in West Texas. El Magnet at Reagan Elementary in Odessa ranked 14th, the top-ranked elementary school in Texas, according to the online rankings, was William B. Travis Academy, Vanguard for the Academically Talented and Gifted of Dallas ISD. Rounding out the top five were Windsor Park, GT of Corpus Christi ISD, Old Union Elementary of Southlake Carroll ISD, Carroll Elementary of Southlake Carroll ISD, and Hudson Elementary of Longview ISD. The report showed Carver ranked 5th of 4,446 elementary schools in the state in reading proficiency and tied for 17th in math proficiency. At Carver Center, 90% of students scored at or above the proficient level for math, and 90% scored at or above that level for reading, U.S. News reported. The school's minority student enrollment is 49%. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, which is worse than that of the district. The student population is made up of 48% female students and 52% male students. The school enrolls 14% economically disadvantaged students. There are 29 equivalent full-time teachers and one full-time school counselor. The student diversity, according to the report, included 50.7% white, 29.3% Hispanic, 9.1% Asian or Asian Pacific Islander, 5.9% African American, and 4.5% two or more races. The next highest ranked Midland ISD elementary school was General Franks Elementary. It was 2,055th out of 4,446. The publication used state assessment data to determine the rankings. The best Texas elementary schools, according to usnews.com, William B. Travis Academy Vanguard for the Academically Talented and Gifted of Dallas ISD, Windsor Park Gifted and Talented of Corpus Christi ISD, Old Union Elementary, Southlake Carroll ISD, Carroll Elementary, Southlake Carroll ISD, Hudson Elementary, Longview ISD, Sudi L. Williams Talented and Gifted Academy, Dallas ISD, Canyon Creek Elementary, Round Rock ISD, Carver Center Midland ISD, Cactus Ranch Elementary, Round Rock ISD, T10 Creekside Forest Elementary, Tomball ISD, T10 Tally Elementary, Frisco ISD. Also, 14 El Magnet at Reagan Elementary, Ector County ISD. Other Midland ISD elementary school rankings: General Franks, 2,055; Bush, 2,425; Bowie, 2,836; Santa Rita, 2,998; Great House, 3,007. Parker, 3,044. Faskin, 3,118. Emerson, 3,157. Yarbrough, 3,241. Rusk, 3,250. Ranking for rest of schools was 3,335 to 4,446. Fannin, Washington, Stem, Bonham, Long, Milam, South Jones, Dezavala, Henderson, Lamar, Pease, Bunch, San Houston, Scarborough, Travis. Report. Tremors subside in area. Since October 7th, only one earthquake has hit immediate region. By Stuart Doreen. The number of earthquakes in and around Midland has dropped in the past 3 weeks, according to information from EarthquakeTrack.com. The website showed that the last earthquake around Midland took place October the 7th. It was a 1.9 magnitude tremor north-northwest of Midland. Since then, the only quake in the immediate region happened October 12th near Big Spring. The last flurry of earthquakes ended around October the 1st. EarthquakeTrack.com still reported Sunday that there had been 13 quakes in the last 30 days and 203 in the past 365 days near Midland. It remains unclear if that lack of seismic activity is related to actions taken by the Railroad Commission of Texas having to do with issuing new disposal well permits in the Gardendale seismic response area and the reduction of daily injection volumes. Peter Hennings, research scientist and lecturer with the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin, wrote the following for the Reporter Telegram in an email. It is possible that the geologic response to the reduced rates and volumes of injection could have a beneficial response quickly. We hope that this is the case. However, that is not what was observed in closely analogous systems like the cases in Oklahoma and the Fort Worth Basin, where deep injection caused the anomalous earthquakes, and it took several years for the earthquake rates to subside once injection was reduced on a broad scale. The reduction in injection in Oklahoma stemmed from regulatory action coupled with a petroleum industry economic downturn. The reduction in injection in the Fort Worth Basin primarily resulted from the basin becoming economically mature, and the rates of drilling and the need for frac fluid disposal waned. According to the RRC, operators of disposal wells in the Gardendale SRA are needing to reduce their maximum daily injection rate to 10,000 barrels per day per well. They are to measure daily injection volumes and pressures and report those to the RRC monthly, including historical data since November 1st of 2019. Not begin or return to using disposal wells that have been permitted but aren't currently in service. The area around Pecos has been more active, according to EarthquakeTrack.com, with 20 quakes in the past 7 days, 93 in the past 30 days, and 1,225 in the past 365 days. Fair to Midland will offer much more than just food. Slides, games, entertainment to add fun to dining experience. By J.C. Lewis. Fair to Midland is finishing the final touches and getting ready to welcome Midlanders through its doors at 1115 Tradewinds Boulevard. The food, beverage, and entertainment project was first announced in 2019 by KPG Hospitality. The venue hit setbacks during the pandemic because it was originally projected to open in the summer of 2020. Partner Campbell Foster said Midland is the first city to have a venue like this. The concept is an open fair-themed patio, beer garden bar, which has indoor and outdoor seating areas, he said. We have two really cool indoor bar areas, plus the outdoor games pavilion will have a ping pong table, live oak trees, silo slide, and a windmill. The indoor-outdoor bar is by the skee ball, basketball, and shooting gallery games. The games at Fair to Midland will take cash to play. The menus haven't been finalized yet, but there will be traditional fair food like hot dogs, corn dogs, burgers, and fries. Foster said the establishment is also planning to have brunch options on the weekends. This is a really fun, interactive, and experiential environment that Midlanders are going to enjoy, he said. We've created a dynamic environment between the windmill, silo slide, the games to the TVs, music, and the bars. He added that while working with the architects, they wanted to create a space that travelers would want a concept like this in their hometown. The venue has a hidden away speakeasy type of bar, too. The idea here was again for customers to not think they were in Midland, he said. It provides a different type of atmosphere than the rest of the establishment. Back here, we will have cocktails and people can sit on couches by a gas fireplace. The bathrooms also hold surprises with cotton candy wallpaper in the women's and hot dog wallpaper in the men's restrooms. The venue plans to be open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week. Check their social media for an official opening date on Facebook or on Instagram at fairtomidland.texas. The Bites. Butter will have an oyster night starting at 5 p.m. Thursday. Fresh oysters will be flown in from Prince Edward Island. Call 432-853-2625 to make reservations. McAllister's Deli at 4415 West Wadley Avenue is temporarily closed for renovations. National Weather Service. Record high temperature tied Monday by Stuart Doreen. Midland is not done with 90-degree days in 2021. The National Weather Service reported Monday that the high temperature reached 90 degrees around 4:10 p.m., meaning that the record high for October 25th was tied. The current record was first set on October 25th, 2011. The National Weather Service reported Monday that a high temperature of 89 degrees is expected Tuesday. Should the thermometer at Midland International Airport again reach 90 degrees, that would tie the record for October 26th set in 2016. The National Weather Service on its website showed an average high temperature of 76 on October 25th and an average high of 75 on October 26th. For those ready for more fall-like conditions, there is a little good news. The National Weather Service reported that a front will come through the region on Tuesday night and Wednesday, with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour Wednesday. That front is expected to lower the high temperatures into the lower to mid-70s on Wednesday through Friday. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast, according to the National Weather Service. City. AG's Office Guided Melendez Information Request by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland responded to an attorney's allegation that the city did not authorize the family access to the police incident report having to do with the death of Jasmine Melendez in October of 2020. The city stated that it complied with all requirements of the Texas Public Information Act, including that when records that are responsive to a request for public information involve a child, the city seeks a ruling from the Office of the Attorney General regarding what information, if any, should be disclosed to the requestor. The city received requests for public information from the family and representatives of the family regarding this investigation, the city said in a statement Monday afternoon. In response to each request, the city sought a ruling from the Office of the Attorney General each ruling that the city received from the Office of the Attorney General directed the city to withhold the responsive information. However, the Midland Police Department was in communication with the family throughout the investigation and following the closure of the investigation. The statement came in reaction to an attorney for the Melendez family who stated Monday that the Melendez's family has been fighting for answers as to what really happened to Jasmine, but have been stonewalled by various organizations, including the Midland Police Department, who have not authorized the family's access to the police incident report. In October of 2020, the district attorney's office delivered an update on the investigation involving the death of Jasmine Melendez. The update, delivered with the permission of the girl's parents, Estevan and Francesca Melendez, sought to bring clarity to reports made earlier, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. The clarification included, there is no connection between the pending investigation and any property belonging to Midland ISD. The investigation has ruled out the potential for multiple suspects. The investigation has ruled out that Jasmine Melendez was transported from any location by private vehicle. Jasmine Melendez was not thrown from a vehicle. Contrary to previous statements attributed to family members of Jasmine Melendez, she was not dumped in a yard. In that update, District Attorney Laura Nodoff said, I want to reiterate that the investigation is not concluded and is a continuing active investigation. Law enforcement continues to work diligently to discover the facts and truth surrounding the passing of Miss Melendez. According to the press release, it was announced that Ben Crump had been retained to represent the family. Zeke Fortenberry of Fortenberry Firm PLLC had been hired by the parents of Jasmine Melendez to represent their interests in potential civil claims, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. Opinion. Election letters. City Council at Large Race. Trost is a thoughtful representative for city. I've known Michael Trost for quite a few years now. I believe he is an excellent council member. For me, it's more than his voting against raising taxes or his tireless support for our first responders. He is just an honest, caring, and good person. From his days operating a child care center, which was the only one around that would care for special needs kids, to his days on stage at the Midland Community Theater, to saying yes when asked to play Santa Claus at Very Merry Midland, Michael is the kind of decent, thoughtful person we need representing us. I choose to only vote for Michael Trost, and I encourage all your readers to do the same. Written by Elizabeth McClellan. Trost will keep property tax bill low. I am supporting Michael Trost. Michael is not only a very responsive city council member, but I am also very pleased with the fact that he always sees raising property taxes as a last resort when more revenue is needed. He thinks outside the box to help all of us during these uncertain times. Let's all keep our tax bill as low as possible by voting for Michael Trost. Written by Sarana Savage. No lingering questions with Poole. I am proud to endorse Robin Poole for an at-large council seat. Robin is a woman of integrity who cares about the issues our city is dealing with. Robin has expressed her concern over the Nueva Vista project and agrees that the homes threatened by a recent 25-year flood event should require a flood study of the golf course being done prior to any approvals. She believes in growing our city in a responsible way, but not at the expense of the homeowners who already reside in Midland. That, to me, is important. A council member who puts her constituents first and not the Florida developer. Robin, unlike her other non-incumbent and high-profile challenger, has no lingering questions unanswered about her life experiences. She wants to humbly give back to her community and be of service to the city that she loves. I recommend that voters take the time to carefully look at the current incumbents as well as the challengers. Check out their Facebook campaign pages. See what people are saying. See what questions are being asked. See what the candidates stand for. Our future depends on humble, conscientious, and conservative leadership. And that is Robin Poole. Written by James Garrity. Poole's values are uncompromising. This November, Midland will find itself with another opportunity to make positive changes for our city. There are 4 city council seats available. Districts 1 and 2 are on the ballot, as well as both at-large seats. I encourage all voters to do just a bit of basic research about each candidate before you cast your votes. You would be surprised what you can unearth when you just take a few moments to look. The more I investigated and asked around, the more positive information there was to learn about candidate Robin Poole. Robin is running for city council at large. I have personally worked with Robin on multiple large projects and can attest to her hard work, determination, and enormous integrity. However, it's her vision and tenacity that have really impressed me as I have watched her share her desires for our community. Anyone who knows Robin will say she will outwork anyone in the room, and her uncompromising values have been obvious as she has been steadfastly involved in bettering Midland over the last decade. It's those characteristics, along with her innate ability to lead well, that give her our vote for City Council at large. Written by Brandy Bell and Kyle Rogers. Trost is a fiscally responsible candidate. If there is one thing we learned in this city council race, it is that Michael Trost has stood for the taxpayers of Midland. By voting against the most recent tax increase while literally identifying other sources of revenue that would negate the need for a tax increase, he has proven that experience and leadership matter. It's become all too easy for elected officials to just raise taxes. It's much more difficult to find other sources of revenue. Mr. Trost does the hard work it takes to find other ways to fund what the city needs. I'm voting just for Michael Trost because he's the only one who has a track record of leading in a fiscally responsible way. Vote Trost. That's written by David Friday. Trost fights to protect neighborhoods. I am so proud to have a council member who is accessible and is willing to fight to protect neighborhoods. The Nueva Vista development has been in the news quite a lot lately. This is not only because of neighborhood opposition to the development, but because this issue is an issue for every neighborhood. Michael Trost has demonstrated time and time again that he is willing to go to the mat to protect our parks, our neighborhoods, not to mention keeping taxes low. It is refreshing. We could all use a council member just like Mr. Trost. That's why I'm voting to reelect him, and I'd encourage everyone to do the same. That was written by J. Loy Helm. Principles Are Key to District Improvement by Stuart Doreen. Welcome to Midland ISD, a school district placed smack dab in one of the most unique cities in Texas. We have talked before in this space that there isn't another city like Midland, and that isn't always a positive for public education. There is the sheer number of private schools in our city, more per capita than any city in the state. There's an economy that doesn't always promote stability in a workforce. There is the higher number of economically disadvantaged students than one would expect in the heart of America's most significant oil patch. There are enough obstacles that they can expose a district when it makes an unforced error. When riding a streak like Midland ISD has, going back around 15 years, it can lead to something that education leaders fear: inconsistency, a lack of cohesiveness, and turnover. If one looks at the superintendent, Angelica Ramsey's first year at Midland ISD, One of those areas it appears she is putting a great deal of effort into is changing a culture. We have already noticed that Central Office is now a service center to the campuses across the city. And, as Associate Superintendent Charles Garcia said last week, it's time to support those campus leaders. It's time to bring a culture where principals, teachers, and other staff members want to remain with Midland ISD. I have seen the districts that have a higher number of economically disadvantaged students than Midland Independent School District, Garcia said. There's several, actually. They have a higher ECO-DIS, and they're outperforming us. We just have to keep the people here and support them. We can't lose good people. We have to embrace them and build them up. That's going to take time. It's not going to happen in 1 year, I'll tell you that. Garcia is one of three new members of Ramsey's cabinet. He said last week he came here to work with Ramsey, a great superintendent that is really authentic and smart. She's as transparent as I've ever seen, and I've worked with some good ones, Garcia said. He also said there's the opportunity to turn around the district. He said last week that transforming F schools to C schools will happen when campuses are built on a framework where high expectations are met. You do it with people, he said. We want to build a framework for the district to support principals, Garcia said. Principals are the most important piece, in my opinion, in our schools. If you have a principal that is an amazing principal, you're going to get amazing results at that campus. Garcia reports principals and assistant principals are eager to learn and have systems in place to get support. I think we have a lot of right leaders in place, Garcia said. I get re-energized when I visit with them and they're asking me, how can I get better? Tell me what we need to do. This appears to be consistent with the message Ramsey has delivered since arriving in Midland. That message includes being on campus as much as possible, bringing coherence to the education delivered across the district, and staying faithful to the board requirement that adult convenience takes a back seat to academic outcomes. Obituaries. Bay Henry Beidle. On October 20th, 2021, Bay Henry Beidle passed away after a short battle with cancer at Northwest Texas Healthcare Systems in Amarillo, Texas. He was an amazing father, loving son, and a great friend to many. At the time of Bay's death, he was working in Amarillo as the service operations manager at Wilborn Tank and Fuel Systems. Prior to that, he worked as a service tech for 12 years at Bowler Equipment. Bay was the father to a beautiful and talented daughter, Briley. He was extremely proud of all her accomplishments and how she has grown into an outstanding young lady. He even passed his love of Texas Tech on to her. In his adult life, it was rare to see Bay without a dog by his side or in his truck. He raised Callie and had her for close to 15 years. After Callie, Bay got Taz, who was always by his side over the last 2 years. Bay is preceded in death by his mother, Ann Beidle, grandparents, Quentin and Ruth Beidle, and John and Margaret Freeman. He is survived by his daughter, Briley Beidle, of Midland, Texas, his father, Warren Beidle, of Del Rio, Texas, Aunt Sue of Mancuso of Tallahassee, Florida, Uncle Quentin Beidle of Lake Mary, Florida, girlfriend Nancy Weldon, her children and grandchildren, and cousins Robin Mancuso, Mark Mancuso, Carly Lester, Sarah Martin, Claudia Shearer, Jackie Prescott, and their families. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, October 29th, 2021, at the Branch at Nally, Pickle, and Welch. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, October 30th, 2021, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Racetown Memorial Park. Cynthia Cindy Michael Midkiff. Cynthia, or Cindy Michael Midkiff, 63, of Midland, passed from this life on Thursday, October 21st, 2021. A viewing was held on Monday, October 25th, 2021, at 5:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church, followed by a rosary at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held on Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, at 10:30 a.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Cindy was born on September 10, 1958, to Colleen and Harlan Michael in Golden, Colorado. She and her family moved to Midland, Texas, when Cindy was 2 years old. She attended St. Anne's School for elementary, San Jacinto for junior high, and graduated from Midland High School in 1977. Cindy traveled to Mexico multiple times throughout her high school career and formed a love for the Mexican culture. Cindy attended Texas Tech University, where she graduated with a major in Spanish in a mere 2.5 years. While in Lubbock, Cindy met a handsome cowboy at the dance hall by the name of Greg Midkiff. A short time later, the couple was engaged. Cindy married the love of her life on August 28, 1979. In May of 1981, they were blessed with their first child. Over the next 12 years, the couple welcomed 4 additional children. She became the world's busiest chauffeur, best cook, and her children's biggest fan. While raising children and making a home, Cindy began her 32-year teaching career at Trinity School, where she made such an impact on many children's lives. She chaperoned trips to Europe, the Grand Canyon, and anywhere in between, hosted multiple exchange students throughout the years, and put on the most extravagant Cinco de Mayo celebrations for the whole school. Cindy loved to share her affinity for culture and shape the minds of young students. Cindy was a mother to all. She loved everyone's children as her own. She got the most joy out of a full house at all times, but especially during the holidays. She was the queen of hosting and loved to say, "More is more and less is a bore." Cindy not only welcomed anyone into her home with infectious smile and warm heart, but she made sure everyone had something to eat. She was notorious for never making the same dish twice. She said she fed people in every sense of the word. She was often graciously directing and coordinating the meals, activities, and schedules of at least 25 people. Cindy loved her family, traveling the world, and her time at the Longway Ranch in Menard with Greg and their extensive family. Her greatest joy in life was giving all the love she had to her children and 12 grandchildren. She loved big and wanted nothing more than to spend time with family. She is survived by her loving husband, Greg, her children, Michael and wife, Sarah, Matthew and wife, Courtney, Nathaniel and wife, Taryn, Preston and wife, Jennifer, and Elizabeth and husband, Andrew. Grandchildren, Mason, Thomas, James, Mary, Collins, Madison, Keeley, Julietta, Charles, Davis, Brooke, John, and Everett. Her sister, Teresa Hillman, and her husband, John. Her mother-in-law, Mary Lou Midkiff, and many loving aunts, uncles, in-laws, nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and great-nephews. She is preceded in death by her father, Harlan Michael, her mother, Colleen Michael, her father-in-law, John Midkiff, her aunt, Mary Ann Lee, uncle, Ray Lee, her cousins, Jenny Lee Byers, Patrick Lee, and her great-niece, Eloise Horton. In lieu of flowers, and the family asks for donations to St. Anne's Catholic Church or the Trinity School of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Irene H. Sanchez. Funeral Mass for Irene H. Sanchez of Stanton, Texas, has been set for 11 a.m. Wednesday, October 27, 2021, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, with Bishop Sis of the Diocese of San Angelo officiating, with Father Rodriguez assisting. Interment will follow at the St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. A rosary, Vigil will be held Tuesday, October 26, 2021 at 7 p.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, with the viewing held Tuesday, October 26, 2021, also at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, beginning at 11 a.m. Born on October 20, 1923, Erin lived all his life in Stanton, Texas. In December of 1946, Erin married the love of his life, Cruz Martinez Sanchez. Erin passed away on October 23, 2021, peacefully at his home, surrounded by his family and loved ones, finally joining his wife of 72 years in eternal rest. Erin is survived by his daughter Rosario Sanchez of Stanton, Texas, sister Maria Sanchez of Midland, Texas, brothers Nick Sanchez of Stanton, Texas, Ysidro Sanchez and Basilio Sanchez of Midland, Texas, grandchildren Grace Gonzalez of Odessa, Texas, Rebecca Lopez of Dallas, Texas, Jessica Sanchez of Plano, Texas, Lauren Thompson and her husband Kevin of Helena, Alabama, John David Robles of Lubbock, Texas, and great-grandson Jacob Lopez of Chicago, Illinois. He is preceded in death by his parents, Francisco and Maria Sanchez, son Jesus Sanchez, siblings Hipolito Sanchez, Casimiro Sanchez, Simon Sanchez, Emma Esparza, Francesco Sanchez, and Trinidad Salazar. Erin served his country honorably in World War II overseas in Europe, fighting with the 459th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion. Erin set sail on the Queen Mary from New York Harbor, landing in England in 1944. During his service in Europe, Erin landed at Utah Beach in Normandy on D-Day, 1944. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge and crossed the Rhine River during the Battle of Remagen. In addition to serving his country, Erin served his community as an ordained deacon at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Stanton, Texas, for 25 years. Erin accepted his call to holy orders August of 1976 for the service of Almighty God and his people in the Diocese of San Angelo. Serving as pallbearers, John David Robles, Eric Sanchez, Tommy Esparza, Lupe Sanchez, Victor Esparza, and Steve Ramos. Linnell K. Sawyer. Linnell K. Sawyer, 68, went to heaven on Thursday, October 21, 2021, surrounded by her family. Linnell was born on October 23, 1952, to Joy and Richard Bonrood in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Linnell graduated from Lincoln High School in 1970, 1 year early. She is survived by her husband of 40 years, Clarence Saar, her daughters Jody Lumby of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Christy Griebeck and her husband Brian of Midland, Texas, Stacy Lumby of Midland, Texas, Kelsey Saar and her husband Josh of Midland, Texas, Kylie Saar of Midland, Texas, and Jana True Spencer of Midland, Texas. Her 12 grandchildren, Alex, Sean, Sierra, Sequoia, Cody, Gunner, Jordan, Brinley, Tegan, Ryder, Nash, and Aaron. Her great-grandchildren, Charlie, Ember, and Marlo. Her mother, Joy Ingalls, and her 5 siblings, Leslie, Larry, Lynn, Lonnie, and Lee. She is preceded in death by her father, Richard Bonrood, 1 infant child, and 1 granddaughter, Eternity. The family will receive friends on Monday, October the 25th, 2021, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Celebration of Life will be held on Tuesday, October 26, 2021, at 10 a.m. at Hosanna Christian Fellowship in Stanton, Texas. Burial will follow at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Lydia Mendoza Cardoza. Lydia Mendoza Cardoza, age 85, passed away peacefully on October 19, 2021, at her home, surrounded by her family. She was born in Iguala Guerra, Mexico, on May 30, 1936, to Juanita Sanchez Mendez and Jose Mendoza Luna. She married her husband, Jesse C. Cardoza, on September 16, 1970. They were married a strong 36 years. Lydia is survived by her brother, Dario Mendoza Sanchez, and sister, Celerina Mendoza Sanchez. Her three children, Rosalinda Torres and Arturo Torres, Lydia Cardoza, Jesus Gaspar Cardoza, grandchildren Marcos R. Cardoza, Leo Paul Torres, Felix R. Cardoza, Marina Rose Silva, and Urijah Caden Cardoza, and her great-grandchildren Jairus, Alex and Leo Jr., Torres, Isabel Marie, and Avery Grace Cardoza, and many nieces and nephews. Also, her loyal canine companion, Rousey, her gentle boxer. She is preceded in death by her husband, Jesse C. Cardoza, in 2006. Her brothers, Moises Sanchez, Miranda, and Baltazar Mendoza Sanchez. Church service will be at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine at 1401 Garden Lane, Midland, Texas, on Friday, October 22, 2021, at 2 p.m., with a reception to follow afterwards. The family of Cardoza wishes to thank Angels Care Hospice for all their support. Arrangements are entrusted to Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Death notices. Ross Lynn Walker. Ross Lynn Walker, 57, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on October 15, 2021, at University Medical Center in Lubbock, Texas. Ross was born on November 6, 1963, to Joe and Billy Joe Miller Walker in Sacaton, Arizona. He married Rebecca Marie Lowe on February 10, 2001, in Odessa, Texas. He is survived by his spouse, Rebecca Lowe Walker, three children, Nicole Walker, Colby Walker, and Clayton Walker, seven grandchildren, his mother, Billy Joe Walker, and 12 siblings. Funeral services will be on Tuesday, October 26, 2021, at 10 a.m. at Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, with burial immediately following at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 26th. OHS National Merit Semifinalist Feated. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. With his mother and grandmother in the audience, Odessa High School senior Akshath Mukheri was honored for being the only National Merit Semifinalist in the region. The ceremony was held Monday in the Odessa High School Performing Arts Center. Ector County ISD announced 19 students were recognized, including Mukera, by the College Board for their academic achievements. OHS Principal Mauricio Marquez said they wanted to host Monday's presentation because Mukera's parents, who are both doctors, could not attend the previous celebration, and that Mukera is the only National Merit semifinalist in the region. About 16,000 of the 1.5 million students who enter the NMS program qualify as semifinalists, Marquez said. Quote, that puts him in a very elite group, he added. Less than 1% of the nation's top high school students are represented in that. So you're talking about an amazing, amazing accomplishment that I wanted to make sure that we celebrated, Marquez said. Lisa Roth, Advanced Placement International Baccalaureate Coordinator and Teacher, said Mukera is very talented. Quote, what I appreciated is that you use your talents and that you continue to stretch yourself, Roth said of Mukera. Quote, I can't wait to see what you're going to offer the world. We are blessed to have you in our community. It's always amazing to me to see what our students are capable of, Mukera's mother, Dr. Lakshmi Alahari, said. His father is Dr. Srikant Mukhera, a rheumatologist. His grandmother is Rajlakshmi Alahari. Mukhera's sister is Ashnathna Mukhera. She is a fourth grader at Carver in Midland. Alahari said Mukhera has always shown leadership qualities. Quote, "He's an amazing child," said Alahari, who specializes in internal medicine. Quote, "He has multiple talents, and I think he can do very well going forward," end quote. When she heard Mukhera had been named a National Merit semifinalist, Alahari said she was ecstatic. Quote, "I knew that he would make it, absolutely," she said. Asked how he felt about all the celebrations for him, Mukhera joked that it was good to get out of class sometimes. Quote, "It's nice when everyone else can be happy too. It's a good way to make other people proud coming to celebrations and things like that," he added. Mukhera said he didn't feel a lot of pressure to do well. Quote, "I think my parents had faith in me. They were like, you study this much, you should be able to do it in God's grace," Mukhera said. He is hoping to attend Rice University and ultimately become a doctor. In school, Mukhera is involved in the National Honor Society and tennis. Roth said an important part of the International Baccalaureate program is doing things outside of school. Mukhera said he teaches youngsters in Sunday school at the local Hindu temple. He taught virtually and noted that it was very important, especially during the pandemic. Mukhera also has been involved in research at University of Texas Permian Basin. Quote, "We were researching a new conductor to assist in rocket fuel production. Basically, to make rocket fuel, you split water into hydrogen and oxygen, and then you mix them together and burn it," Mukhera said. Alahari said Mukhera used to do taekwondo and has a second-degree black belt. He also used to play violin in the orchestra. He also volunteers for the North-South Foundation and teaches math and science to middle school students in the summer. Quote, "He has always been an amazing child, a fast learner, always curious. And then, if he comes across something, he has to know the depth of it, so he keeps on researching, 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 until he cannot find anything more in that topic. That is an amazing quality I found in my son," Alahari said. Spooktacular returns to the stage. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. The annual Permian High School Orchestra Halloween show Spooktacular is back. The show is set for 6:30 p.m. October 28th at the West Texas Event Center at the MCM Fun Dome. Tickets are $12, and you can buy them after school in the orchestra room at Permian. About 150 students from all four orchestras, Philharmonic, Freshman, Symphony, and Satin Strings, will perform. The theme is the 80s, Director Todd Barrett said. Quote, "We're going to be pulling some movie music themes. We're going to be doing some old rock and roll themes. The Symphony is doing Raiders of the Lost Ark. Our Philharmonic group is doing Michael Jackson's Thriller and doing Journey's Don't Stop Believing. Our freshmen are going to be pulling out the seminal 80s hit Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Satin Strings is going to be doing some AC/DC. There will be some games in between, like The Price is Right." Quote, "It's going to be kind of like a big circus atmosphere," Barrett said. This is the 20th year for Spooktacular, but the 19th, because they missed last year due to COVID. Quote, "The kids are so looking forward to it because they get to dress up. We had opportunities last year to perform and do musical things, but this year it's been so much more fun to get them together and be able to get them out into the public and work on this music. It's just been a blessing," Barrett said. He added that he will be joining in on the guitar. The event is also a fundraiser and he hopes to raise $15,000 total. Music from the 80s is often made fun of, but Barry said it's difficult to play because of the syncopated rhythms and the vocalized rhythms that the students aren't used to. Quote, "In classical music, it's more straightforward. This is pop music, so it's a very vocalized style. It's a great teaching base because they're actually being taught how to play the difficult things, the difficult syncopated rhythms, and that's going to carry them so much further into the future." Barrett said their contest music will look easy after that. He added that he's happy this won't be a virtual performance. Quote, "This is going to be fun. I'm just so happy to have this back," he added. Barrett credited the Fine Arts Department downtown for advocating for the orchestra to perform Spooktacular. Paula Garcia, a 17-year-old senior viola player, Swetha Kesavan, a 17-year-old senior violin player, and Iris Rizzo, an 18-year-old senior cello player, are all looking forward to the concert. Quote, "I'm very excited about Spooktacular," Garcia said. "I think it's one of the main events of our orchestra, and it's really exciting to come together as a full orchestra and hear all the orchestras playing. It's really fun and really exciting," end quote. Kesavan said she has always loved Spooktacular, and it's even more important this year because they are seniors. Garcia noted that the parents will be able to see all the hard work and effort that went into the performance. Asked whether they are unsure if they would get to perform, Garcia said a lot of them knew that Barrett would try his hardest to make it happen. Quote, "He knew we all missed it, and he missed it as well," Garcia said. Barrett said it would give the students some normalcy because they have not performed like this in a couple of years. Quote, "This is our primer for the year as far as getting used to rehearsals, getting used to performing, and it's also fun because you can't do Thriller at contest," Barrett added. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 25,606 total cases, 525 deaths. Midland County, 27,925 total cases, 363 deaths. Texas, 4,210,466 total cases, 70,263 deaths. U.S. cases, 43,363,116 total confirmed cases, and 734,753 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Medical Center Hospital's daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 9 a.m. Monday. 45 total COVID patients in-house. Med-surgical, non-critical, 27 COVID patients. 19 unvaccinated, 3 vaccinated, 5 unknown. Includes 1 in pediatrics critical care, 18 COVID patients, 15 on ventilator, 14 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 3 unknown. Of the 16 COVID patients on ventilator, 1 are vaccinated, 12 are unvaccinated, 2 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 2 months to 91 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Andrews, 1 from Big Spring, 1 from Camp Wood, 1 from Childress, 3 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Kermit, 2 from Midland, 2 from Pecos, 1 from Toya, 1 from Oklahoma. The rest are from Odessa, Ector County. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Ector County Republican women have scheduled a meeting Wednesday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center at 305 East 5th Street. Meet and greet of speakers will be at 10:30 a.m. with lunch and meeting at 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Guest speakers are Matt Reynolds, chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, speaking on recent special sessions and redistricting. Texas DPS officer John Spock will share firsthand experience of the border crisis after his recent deployment to Del Rio. For tickets or more information, visit the Ector County Republican Women's Facebook page or email ecrwodessa@gmail.com. First Basin Credit Union has scheduled Shining Star Donation Drive benefiting High Sky Children's Ranch through November 19th. Visit an FBCU branch in Odessa, Midland, or Andrews to make a donation and help make Christmas wishes come true. Account number 80001-02. All monies raised and donated by First Basin will be presented to High Sky to purchase Christmas gifts for children of all ages up to 17 years old. Gifts purchased range from necessities such as blankets, winter coats, clothing, and shoes, to fun wish list items such as dolls, toy cars, and bicycles. FBCU locations are 2740 County Road West, 4217 Grandview Avenue, 713 Golder Avenue, and 7100 East Highway 191, all in Odessa, 3316 North Midland Drive in Midland, and 1205 Northeast 1st Street in Andrews. Visit firstbasin.com. Trunk or Treat Events. The Purpose Church at 1618 East Murphy Street has scheduled Trunk or Treat event from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. There will be free hot dogs, water, and candy. Harmony Science Academy, 2755 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled drive-through trunk or treat and more from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Friday. Families are welcome to decorate their vehicles. Students can dress up for the event. The Academy is also asking for candy donations. To donate candy or for more information, call 432-363-6000. Bowie Middle School at 500 West 21st Street has scheduled a trunk or treat event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday. Stonegate Fellowship Odessa, 4240 Preston Smith Road, has scheduled trunk or treat from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. The Black Cultural Council of Odessa has scheduled trunk or treat from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday at Woodson Park at 1020 East Murphy Street. Grace Christian Fellowship Church at 3450 Billy Hext Road has scheduled trunk or treat from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday. The Monahans Chamber of Commerce has scheduled trunk or treat from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday at Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway in Monahans. New Dawn Fellowship at 2110 East 10th Street has scheduled trunk or treat from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday. There will be food trucks, games, and candy. Costumes are optional. No scary costumes, please. Impact City Church at 914 North Texas Avenue has scheduled trunk or treat from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Saturday. There will be treats and activities for the whole family. Art Table Talk. Ballroom Marfa has scheduled Art Table Talk with Marcella Guerrero and Daisy Nam at 11 a.m. Wednesday. In this virtual talk, the two will discuss Donna Huanca, Espejo Quemada, as well as Guerrero's significant work with Latinx artists and exhibitions. Cost is $10 for ballroom audiences with the code ATXBM Friend, and $5 for students with the code ATXBM Student. To register, visit tinyurl.com/3WCPJUB6. For more information, call 432-729-3600, email info@ballroommarfa.org, or visit ballroommarfa.org. New Dawn Fellowship at 2110 East 10th Street has scheduled a concert featuring Doug Anderson at 7 p.m. Thursday. Doors open at 6 p.m. and love offering will be taken. The Area Agency of the Permian Basin on Aging Regional Planning Commission has scheduled a Medicare open enrollment event from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Thursday at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue. Benefit counselors will be available to assist Medicare beneficiaries explore new choices. Rooster's Diner, 615 North Sam Houston Avenue, has scheduled Pooches on the Patio Spooktacular from 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. on Thursday. Bring your dog dressed to impress. Costume winner wins $100 Visa gift card. The Ella Noel Art Museum at 4909 East University Boulevard has scheduled a film documentary, Drawn This Way, 59 minutes, at 6:30 p.m. Thursday. A discussion will follow. Admission is free. Visit noelartmuseum.org. Trinity School has scheduled Sweetie and Hal Clay Peck Memorial Speaker Series Luncheon at 11:30 a.m. Friday at Midland Country Club. Keynote speaker will be children's author John Seska. Tickets and tables may be purchased by visiting trinitymidland.org or by contacting Kobe Lincoln at klincoln@trinitymidland.org. The Courtyards, 201 Parks Village Drive, has scheduled an autumn festival from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday. There will be food, fun games, and prizes for the whole family. Healthcare providers will also be available to answer questions and give insight into the latest innovations in senior care. For more information, call 432-339-1048. Bloody Bill's Chainsaw Carnage will take place from 7 p.m. to midnight Friday through Sunday at 2215 West 2nd Street. Tickets may be purchased online or at the door. Crazy Clean Car Wash has scheduled a Tunnel of Terror haunted car wash from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Friday through Saturday at two of its locations. Psycho Clown Circus will take place at 2124 East 8th Street. Zombie Attack will be at 3820 Pembroke Street. Dos Amigos, 4700 North Golder Avenue, has scheduled a Halloween bash starting at 9 p.m. Friday. Costume contest will award first, second, and third place winners. First place takes $1,000 cash. Must be 21 and older to attend. Cover charge is $15.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.